Eight games of hoops in a Tuesday night. OKC gets to 60 wins. Cavs have finally got their win streak back. And Miami wins the much-anticipated Golden State-Miami matchup, first game they've played since the trade. My name is Shlomo Stark.
My name is Levi Jacob.
And this is the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. So, Levy, before we started recording, I was complaining to you about all the injuries. And you said to me, what injuries? What do you mean? And I then quickly looked while you took a phone call. Every single game last night of the eight games, that's 16 teams, had one or more injured players from both teams. Okay? So I'm just going to read this out to you quickly, and then we'll get into the games. San Antonio, Detroit. San Antonio, obviously, no Wemby. Also, no Fox. Detroit, no Jaden Ivey. Orlando, Charlotte, no Suggs. Charlotte, no Brandon Miller. Golden State, Miami, no Steph Curry. Dallas, New York, no Jalen Brunson, no Anthony Davis, no Kyrie Irving, and more. Houston, Atlanta, no Jalen Johnson. Utah, Memphis, no Ja Morant. Cleveland, Portland, no Donovan Mitchell. OKC, Sacramento, no Jalen Williams, no Sabonis. That's what I mean when I say there's been a lot of injuries. Miami, Golden State was probably the most anticipated game of the day, right? Miami wins 112-86. Jimmy Butler played awful in his, like, return to Miami. Is there any real takeaways from this when Golden State didn't have Steph Curry?
I think the takeaway is in the minutia. Like, this is where, like, it's funny because I think that philosophically this is also a thing that we discuss oftentimes on this podcast, is that I really look for the small details. I like to find trends before they, you know, before they, like, erupt into the quote-unquote mainstream, you know, not to be that guy. But for example, I really, really appreciated the fact that Khalil Ware was able to again, he scored 14 points, but like in his highlights that he had this game, he looks like he's going to be a real player in the NBA. Of course, the Heat have been starting him, which helps with their offense, but I'm just saying, like, there's little fun things if you are a little bit of a weirdo in regards to NBA and you really love it, like you know, watching the boring last 10 games. There are pieces of it to appreciate here and there.
I'm a man of the people, Levy. I'm a man of the people, and the people want Steph Curry, not Khalil Ware.
I get it. But at the same time, we want Steph Curry making a deep playoff run. So, like, you know.
Right. No, the real problem is the season should be shorter.
I don't disagree with you at all. I just think that once you start doing that, then people.
You're saying that they'll play 60 games instead of 70. You're saying let's say the season was 70 games. So then people would start resting at 60 games.
Well, first off, 100%. But second is that it would just make those arguments, and honestly, it's not a reason not to do it, but it would just make those arguments about, like, best teams ever so much more annoying, because people would be like, oh, but the win percentage of the team that has, you know, there's 60 games a season, now they're 58-2, you know, versus the 72-10, you know, like yeah, I just don't want that.
Yeah, like, I always wondered, like, if that's, like, an actual factor when there's a rule change. Like, I've thought about this a lot, and I cannot think of a single reason why not to do this, except for comparing people historically. I think, and you cannot give me a single reason why this isn't so, if I pass to someone and they get fouled, for every free throw they score, I should get half an assist. Only reason not to do it is because then someone will pass John Stockton for all-time assists, and it will seem like they're a better passer.
Instead of half assist, I'm more partial to say that if they score both free throws, give them an assist.
Also, I'm fine with that. But meaning the point is like, it's so dumb that that's just not an assist.
I agree with you. The other interesting piece to me is also, I'm sure this people felt this way about like three-pointers, you know?
Yeah. I'm not sure people cared about the history of the league when three-pointers came around. Like, I wonder if when they created the three-point line, where they're like, will Jerry West have a three-point line? But I don't know if people were like, what will this mean about Jerry West's legacy? Like, there was no Bird and Magic yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like, who's going to be better than Jerry West? It was a different time. It doesn't make so much sense that if I pass you the ball and you hit two free throws, you know, I don't get an assist.
I agree. Especially if you're setting somebody up, like, in a position to, they have obviously the advantage, so then they are therefore fouled, right? Like, that means that you did set them up for an assist.
Yeah. 100%. It's just like a flaw in the rule book that I think the reason we're not changing is because it would be hard to compare people historically, and people will be breaking assist records.
My difficulty is that at that point we're admitting to ourselves that we are trying to make it more statistically inclined. We are doing it for the sake of stats.
No, it's a reflection. I think you're a better point guard. I think it's a better reflection of how you pass if you get assists for free throws. Like, if I, what's an assist? An assist is if you assisted the basket. A better reflection, if I make 30 passes a game that lead to free throws, that should show up. Like, that matters. As a point guard, I think I'm one of the best point guards in the league. If I have 30 assists a game, but they're all free throw assists, I think I'm one of the best passers in the league. It's less about statistics and more about showing what is.
This is the thing that at the end of games, guys don't check up shots from the full court or half court because they don't want to get worse shooting percentages, you know, that kind of thing. Like, yep. Or they don't want to hold the ball for, they change the turnover to a team turnover at the end of games. I think that once you kind of like acknowledge it, you call it out. Like, I don't think of someone who is a good point guard. Like, I don't think that Chris Paul is going to be complaining about whether or not it was counted as an assist off of free throws. Like, I think that if you're a real facilitator, you're just going to be a good facilitator. Everybody knows that you're a good facilitator. Like, no one's going to worry. Like, for example, like, Steph is a very good team basketball player. He's a good passer. Does it always reflect an assist to get 12 assists a game? No. But I don't think that he's like, and that assist should have counted. You know, like, I don't think that he's counting stats in that way. I don't know. Like, I can hear it both ways.
Anyway, fun debate. All right, let's get into the games. OKC beats Sacramento 121-105. Okay, I have some notes about this game I want to talk to you about. Just a bunch of awesome stats about OKC. Okay, so we talk about MVP, Jokic versus SGA. SGA now has the fifth longest streak of 20-point games in the season. Will Chamberlain had 80 games of 20 points in a row in a season, twice. He's really good. Oscar Robertson did 76 games, same season as Wilt, actually. Michael Jordan did 69 games in 90, which is like super impressive when you see who else is on this list. And now SGA with 65. So this is like historically good. SGA has 2,250 points this season. Second place is Anthony Edwards with 1,912. Now this is a crazy stat. You ready? Third place is SGA with 1,900 if you don't count fourth quarters. So if you just did SGA's for 1, 2, 3 quarters, he's second place behind Anthony Edwards. Like, if you just take away his fourth quarters, and he's still 100 ahead of Jokic, who has 1,806. He's been on an absolute scoring tear this year, and I want to give him props for that. The game I don't really care about. Thunder take care of Sacramento pretty easily, and they become the eighth fastest team to get to 60 wins in league history.
It's totally mind-blowing.
Yep, we got to give SGA his flowers. He's been unreal. They're 60-12. It would not surprise me if they went 70-12. Great job by them this season. Really, really great job.
Incredible.
They are, I would say, they need to make the finals if they don't want the season to be a failure. It's like they're finals bound. Next, New York beats Dallas 128-113. Also breaking some records. New York, this is the first time ever in New York's loaded history where they have two players with triple-doubles on the same night. Karl-Anthony Towns, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Josh Hart, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. And he also makes history becoming the leader of Knicks triple-doubles in a season. He now has 9. He passed Walt Clyde Frazier, who had 8. Walt was announcing this game in the Garden, and he couldn't be happier for the guy. I'm very into this Knicks team. A little worried about their defense because I feel like just people love... Players love having their career highs in Madison Square Garden. It's just an honor to play there. And like tonight, Najee Marshall was like, here we go. Here we go. He just dropped 38 points on us. Pretty embarrassing, but we have way more talent than Dallas and we were able to win. And it's like, we just had a lot more talent. Like, Klay is shot 2 for 11. Klay is not Klay.
I'm not looking at Klay Thompson anymore.
I know. You're looking at Brandon Williams.
Listen.
Yeah, 22.
That's hilarious. Listen, he's a very efficient basketball player. Anyways, it is what it is.
Yeah, definitely not great. And also just nice to see for the Knicks, Tyler Kolek getting some minutes. He got 19 minutes. Kind of excited about that.
I think that he's actually a good player. Speaking of assists, 9 assists. OG Anunoby also had just an insane game. The defense is one thing. In the playoffs, they will turn it up ultimately. But simply, I think that they can go against kind of any defense people put out there. Like, if it's Cleveland or if it's the Celtics, especially now that Dame is out, for an indefinite amount of time with the
blood clots. Yeah,
I think that kind of opens up the East a little more.
I'm gonna love it. And you passed my test. I mentioned Tyler Kolek, and I wanted to see if you were gonna go on a Tyler Kolek thing. You only said 9 assists and then moved on to the Knicks offense. Well done. I really thought you were gonna go into a Tyler Kolek thing, like be like, no, this guy, man, he could be the next campaign. Like if we just like put him in the right situation. All right, next. Cleveland beats Portland 122-111. Darius Garland scores 27 points. Evan Mobley ties his career high, 4 blocks. Portland's coming back down to earth. Denny Avdia is now solid again, not Larry Bird. So that'll help them lose some games. Yeah, just a 58-win team beating a 32-win team. There's not much of a story there.
Did you hear Bill Simmons and Ryan Russo freaking out about Denny?
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. It was great. Memphis beats Utah 140-103. Houston beats Atlanta 121-114. And Detroit beats San Antonio 122-96. Orlando beats Charlotte 111-104. I have no notes on any of these games. If you have something to say, take it away.
Paolo is back to looking smooth on the court.
Paolo, you're right. Paolo looks good. I'm really excited for them to lose in the first round.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna merit them any really playoff success. But just watching him right now compared to earlier, he's reached that same form that he was at before the oblique injury. And this is the same player that like LeBron, you know, was complimenting all those years ago. Like he's looking good.
Yeah, I'll just say last 7 games, 32, 30, 30, 31, 24, 43, 34 points, 224 points in a 7-game span. He's been good.
It's looking like his team again. Like before, like him and Franz were kind of going back and forth, whatever. Franz is great, but this is like, mm-hmm. He needs to be the effective primary scoring option on that team, and he's been doing great.
Hawks, Magic, Bulls, Heat. Who are the two playoff teams? Like those are play-in tournaments. Hawks 7, Magic 8, Bulls 9, Heat 10.
Who's making like the final 2 seeds, you're saying?
Meaning Hawks and Magic need to lose twice. Well, let's do it this way. Hawks, Magic, who wins? Hawks are home.
It's close. I mean, even they're
yeah, it's a good game. It's a great play-in game.
It's a really good play-in game. Hawks, Magic. I think the Magic might edge it out, honestly. I think they just have more talent. And they have Anthony Black is a good defender to put on Trey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might.
I like it. Bulls Heat, who wins?
I think that's definitely Bulls.
Okay, so now you have Hawks Bulls, which is really anyone could win that game.
Hawks Bulls. I just think the Bulls are on a streak right now.
So you have the Bulls as the 8th seed, Magic as the 7th seed.
It really could be that. I think that obviously could switch. I don't think that the Heat are making it. I don't think the Heat are making it.
Would it surprise you if it's Hawks, Bulls, and the Magic and the Heat are out?
Really, any kind of combination wouldn't surprise me.
Except the Heat making it.
I'm saying I would venture to say, like, I think that they have a higher percentage of not making it. I mean, obviously, it's easy to look at and say that they're the 10 seed up. But yeah. I just think that their team, when it comes down to intensity and really playing and knowing who's getting what shots and what they're looking for on offense and even defensively, I just don't think that they have it as cohesive as the other teams right now.
Right. Okay. All right, that was the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. I want to thank you, Levy, for co-hosting, for producing, for doing all that you do. I want to thank you for listening.